You know, guilt is probably the most paralyzing emotion you can experience. I once read a study that said about 50% of people who are sick in the hospital right now could go home if they could get rid of their guilt. In my experience as a pastor, I've found that a lot of people are dying to hear these three words: you are forgiven. But you know, those words are hard to hear if you really believe in a world of randomness, if your worldview is based on an uncaring universe, if you don't have a creator who made you for a purpose, designed you to love you, and offers you grace even in your worst moments. On the other hand, if you build your life on the Bible and you let God's point of view become your worldview, you're going to live a life of forgiveness and grace. You're going to ask forgiveness, you're going to offer forgiveness, and you're going to accept forgiveness. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we're approaching the finish line for the series called Reframing Your Worldview. This is part one of a message called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. It's taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, Pastor Rick.
I'm not a prophet, and I'm certainly not a psychic. I don't even believe in psychics. Nobody can predict the future. If somebody's trying to predict the future and they're taking your money, you're getting ripped off. Because nobody, the Bible says, knows the future. Nobody knows it. But I do know this. In the next 365 days, some of them are going to be tough for you. You're going to go through some difficult days. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some rogue winds, some trials, troubles, tribulations. You're going to go through some problems and pressures and stress in your life. In fact, I can guarantee it. Why? Because the world is broken. We've talked about this many times. Nothing on the earth works perfectly. Once sin entered the world is in rebellion against God. You are in rebellion against God. I'm in rebellion against God. You say, no, I'm not. Oh, yeah, you are. Every day you get up and decide what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. And almost on a daily basis, you go, I know what God says to do, but I'm going to do this instead. That's called rebellion. That's called sin. And that broke everything in the planet. So nothing works perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Your relationships, your marriage, your friendship doesn't work perfectly. None of your dreams happen exactly as you planned them to be. Nothing on this planet is perfect because everything is broken. This is earth, not heaven. Everything works right in heaven. Nothing works correctly all the time on earth. Probably the question I'm asked more often than any other question is, Rick, why is there evil in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there pain in the world? Why are there so many problems in the world? Why does God allow evil and all the pain that comes from it in the world? Well, it's not really that hard a question to answer. It's because God has given you a free choice. And God has given all of us a free will. And because of that, we make stupid choices. You do, I do, and other people do. And that causes pain and that causes hurt. And as a result, everything is broken. Now, God could get rid of all the evil in the world instantly by just taking you out of it. And me too. And everybody else. Because none of us do right all the time. We all have our own brand of self-centeredness. I do, and you do. We all have our own brand. You have hurt people sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. And that causes pain. And you have been hurt by others, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Now, God could get rid of all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the sadness, all the brokenness by just taking away man's free will. He could have made us puppets. He could have made us where you don't even have a choice. But God allows you to reject him. God allows you to go your own way. God allows you to disobey. You don't have to love God. In fact, most people in the world don't. And as a result, there are consequences of that. Why does God allow free choice? because he wants a race of tested individuals in his family who choose to love him, and love is a choice. I can't say that I truly love you unless I have the choice to not love you. If I'm forced to love you, it's not love. If God forces us to do the right thing, if God forces us to love him, forces us to worship, it's not worship, it's not love, it's not honor, it's being forced to do it. God could have made you where you had no choice at all, and you prayed 10 times a day, and you always did the right thing, and you never lied, never exaggerated, never got jealous, never had envious, never stressed out, never worried. He could have done that. And then there would be no problems in the world. But the reason why there are sin and suffering and sorrow is because of the choices that people have made. You see, if I overeat and I don't exercise and I get under stress and I have a heart attack, I can't say, and die, I can't say, hey, what was God doing? Why did God kill me? Or Kay can't say, why did God kill my husband? God didn't kill my husband, I killed me with a fork. And if I go out here and I get drunk and I'm driving down the freeway and I run into a car with a woman who's pregnant with a child and she dies and the baby inside her dies, that wasn't, well, it must have been God's will. No, that was my will. I am so tired of people attributing evil to God. Somebody gets molested. Somebody gets beat up. Somebody, a war gets started. Well, it must be God's will. Are you kidding me? God's will is almost never done on this earth. Why? Because we have a will. That's why we are commanded to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because in heavens, God's will is done perfectly, and on earth, it's almost never done. For somebody who says, well, everything that happens is God's will. Well, God allows it, yes, but what is God doing? He's grieving. When a woman or a man gets raped and a little child gets molested, was that God's will? Of course not. God is not the author of evil, but God has allowed the freedom of choice. One day, the Bible says God is going to settle the score. One day, God is going to even the odds. One day, the books are going to be balanced. There is going to be eternal judgment, and there is going to be eternal reward. No doubt about it. There will be a judgment day. In the meantime, we're living on a broken planet. And that's why I can guarantee you're going to have problems. The Bible always tells the truth. Any other book will have exaggerations in it, will lie to you. You know, you read biographies of guys that are written by their friends, and they gloss over all the bad parts. The Bible, when it talks about people, shows them warts and all. It always tells the truth. And what tells us that Abraham was a great man of God, it also tells us all his weaknesses. When it tells us that David was a great man of God, it also tells us all his weaknesses. In the passage we're going to look at today, 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus himself, talks about when he went through the slough of depression. When he was so depressed, he despaired of life itself. He said, you're kidding me. I am not kidding you. That Paul was so honest, he talked about, he said, one time I was so depressed, I was so discouraged, I was ready to give up. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to kick the bucket. I was ready to say, okay, God, just kill me. I'm not going to live. I was so in much despair. Now, the good news is we can learn from that. This is a very powerful passage we're going to look at. Now, I hope you're not going through tough times right now. You may be. But you're going to need what I share with you this morning. So get out your pencil. Because this passage teaches us the six keys to getting through what you're going through when you're going through a tough time.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And we're going to continue in just a moment, but right now, please check out rickwarren.org, where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Thousands of people just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails each day, so please sign up and be encouraged. And while you're at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with Rick on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store. It's packed with resources that will really help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. You know, there's more Daily Hope right around the corner with Pastor Rick Warren.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
I hope you're not going through tough times right now. You may be. But you're going to need what I share with you this morning. So get out your pencil. Because this passage teaches us the 6 keys to getting through what you're going through when you're going through a tough time. Now first, let's read this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 11. It says this. Paul begins, all praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. And he's going to talk a lot about comfort because he's talking about going through tough times. He, God, comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now he says, when others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that we've been given, that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with comfort through Christ. So, when we're weighed down with troubles, does that describe you today? When you're weighed down with troubles? It says, when we're weighed down for troubles, it's for your benefit and salvation. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a group of people in the city of Corinth, Greece. That's why this book is called Corinthians. It's written to the people who lived in Corinth, Greece. If he'd written to us, he would have written First Californians. But this is First Corinthians, okay? And so he says, when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. He says, it's for your benefit and salvation. When God comforts us, we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We're all confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. Now he gets a little biographical here, and he starts to tell us what's going on in his life. He says this, I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. Paul's given a little biography here. He said, we were crushed. Ever felt like that? We were crushed, and we were completely overwhelmed. Ever felt like that? And we feared that we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. That's pretty bad. When you're going through a tough time and you say, I'm not even going to make it. I'm going to die in this. But, he says, as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. I mean, God can do anything. He can raise the dead. And he, God, did deliver us from mortal danger. And we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you people in Corinth, you are helping by praying for us. Now, as a result, many others will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. Now, in this very powerful passage, Paul gives us, models for us, the 6 things you must do to get through what you're going through. Let's look at them. Number 1, no matter what I'm going through, physically, relationally, financially, mentally, socially, whatever tough time I'm going through, the first thing I have to do is this. I've got to remember. Remember that God can use it for good. That's the starting point. Before I do anything else, I remember that no matter what I'm going through, God can use it for good in my life. Now, I don't have time to go into all the ways that God can use problems in your life. There are literally dozens and dozens of ways God can use problems for good in your life. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. The Bible says that God uses problems to direct us, to say, here's the way I want you to go. And God uses problems to inspect us, to see what's really inside of us, what we're made of. Like a tea bag, you put it in hot water, you know what comes out, you know what's inside it. When you squeeze a toothpaste, you know what's inside it. When the squeeze is on you, what's inside of you comes out. God uses problems to direct us and inspect us. God uses problems to correct us, say, I don't want you to go that way, I want you to go this way. God uses problems to perfect us, to make us like himself. And God uses problems to protect us, saying, I really don't want you to get hurt over there, so I'm going to allow a problem here to keep you from doing that over there. The Bible talks about how problems edify us, how problems sanctify us, how problems purify us. There are many, many good benefits of problems in your life. But in this passage, Paul mentions three. So let's just look at those three. There are three things God can do with the problems in your life. You might write these down. First, God can use it to teach me to trust him. God can use the problems I'm going through to teach me to trust him. Andre Crouch, the famous Christian singer, once wrote a song and he says, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. It's true. How many times have you heard me say this? You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. And you've lost your job and you've lost your house and you've lost your marriage or you lost your health and all these things. And you don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. God can use the problems I go through to teach me to trust him. Look at verse 8. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, circle that, as a result. This is the first benefit of problems in my life. As a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. You know, some things we only learn through pain. It's just human nature. There's some things your parents could tell you it 100 times. Don't touch that hot stove, but it looks so cool. And you touch it and you get burned and then you never touch it again. Some things we only learn through pain. God says, I want you to learn to trust me. And so I'll allow problems that force you to make that choice. Another thing we can learn is God can use problems to give me a ministry to others. To give me a ministry to others. You say, you got to be kidding me. I'm not. Your pain often reveals God's purpose for you. How many times have you heard me say, God never wastes a hurt? If you've gone through a hurt, God doesn't want you to waste it and just hold on to it. He wants you to be able to help other people going through that same hurt. He wants you to share it. And God can use the problems in my life to give me a ministry to others. In fact, the very thing you're most ashamed of in your life, the very thing you wish had never happened, the very thing you resent the most, the very thing that's caused you the most pain, could become your greatest ministry in helping other people. Who could better help parents of a special needs child than parents who raised a special needs child? Who could better help somebody who's lost a child than somebody who lost a child? Who could better help somebody who's been molested or raped? And somebody goes, I know that pain. I know that. The very thing you hate the most in your life, that God was grieving over when it happened, God wants to use it for good in your life.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will come back and share a final thought for today. But right now, please check out the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. Log on today and you can get the entire message you just heard, message series, message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. So log on now, rickwarren.org. Also, we'd love to let you know that this is the last week we'll be offering a special gift to say thanks for your donation supporting this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. Now, Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book that Chuck Colson was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life, and Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life, as he helps you answer hard questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? And what does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in such a way that it could literally change your life and the lives of those around you. And The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today at 1-800-600-5004. And if you can, please consider giving just a little more today to support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you, so we appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you, too, so give us a call before this offer expires on Friday, 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's closing thought.
One of the most comforting facts of life is this. No matter what I'm going through, Jesus understands it because he's been through it. The Bible tells us that he was tempted in every point like as we, yet he did not sin. Did Jesus suffer? Of course he did. But what about loneliness? Was Jesus ever lonely? Was Jesus ever discouraged? Was Jesus ever tempted? Of course he was. The Bible tells us that he was misunderstood, he was criticized, he was maligned, he was misjudged. And so when I go through those things in life, I know that I serve a God who understands. Now, none of us are exempt from suffering or from loneliness or discouragement or criticism. All of these things are happening in our lives, but God uses them for good in our lives. You say, well, is God the cause of them? Does God cause these things? No, God doesn't have to. The world is broken. It's broken by sin. And because we all sin, there are bad things in the world, and bad things happen to all of us. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, it's a personal testimony. He says, we were crushed. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through what we were going through. In fact, he says, we expected to die. You ever felt like that? Maybe you feel that way right now. But he says here, here's the good news. He says, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely only on God who raised the dead. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, whether it's a fear or it's a failure or it's a flaw, whether it's loneliness or whether it's misunderstanding or false criticism or whatever it is, you need to do the same three things. You need to refuse, you need to remember, and you need to rely. What do I mean by that? You need to refuse to be discouraged. You need to remember that God is with you. And you need to rely on God's protection and his guidance. These are things we remember. We know that all things work together for good. Not we hope, we know. It's a fact of life. I refuse to be discouraged. I remember that God is with me. And I rely on God's protection. I rely on God's grace. I rely on God's guidance. And I say, God, you've helped me in the past. You're with me right now. I know you're going to help me in the future. That's the way you get through what you're going through. Let me close with a prayer for you. Father, I don't know what this person is going through right now, but you do. You care about it. You see it. You know about it. You love them, and you are a good God. You're not away from them. You're not apart from them. You're not distant from them. You're up close, and you see it all. And so today, we give it all to you. We give you our burdens. We give you our fears. We give you our problems, our pressures, the concerns of our lives. We lay them out before you, and we let them go. And we thank you, God, that you understand. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through what we go through so you know how to help us go through it. We can't make it on our own, Lord, but we can do it with your help. And we expect it, and we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue in our study of God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.